Okay, so we're back in Christian counseling class, and it's our desire to help people in their needs and to give them the truth from the scripture. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, please help us, Lord, as we want to give people your words and not our own. We want to give them your truth and not just our opinions. And Father, we acknowledge that there are so many problems in life, and that we in our own selves do not have the answers to the multitude of people's problems. And we need you, Lord. We humbly come before your face like Solomon came and said, I am but a little child. I know not to go how to go out or to come in. And Lord, we acknowledge the same. And we ask that you'd please lead us and guide us, please enlighten our eyes when people have problems they're sharing with us. Enlighten us, Lord, how to help them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've been talking about peace. We were looking at Isaiah 9:6 and taking people to the Prince of Peace. Just a lot of people are troubled. A lot of people in life take all kinds of drugs to try to get peace. And we want to point them to Jesus. So here in John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Have you ever been thinking, okay, where's that verse? And then the Holy Spirit gave you the reference, or you were thinking of something to try to help someone and the Lord gave you a verse. It's so precious. So while the Holy Spirit is the convictor of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, he's our comforter, praise God. And so what a wonderful thing. And so then in verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So, I mean, even at Christmas time, there are so many people at Christmas time that think that, you know, okay, if I just get this certain gift, I am going to be happy, whatever it is. And other people think that they're going to give someone peace by giving them a special gift. And then it's like sometimes you give people gifts and they might not seem as happy as you thought. I mean, you may have thought, wow, they're going to be so happy at what I gave them. And then they may not respond like you think. And so there's no peace in the material things of this world. It's our peace is in the Lord. And so that's what we've got to try to point people to, is the Lord. You know, for a guy, it may be, oh, if I could only get that truck or whatever it is, I would be so happy. Probably not. Okay. Okay, so now we're going to look at the biblical use of the word thoughts. Because a lot of times people are asking for help, for counsel, because they're upset or they're discouraged. And so we're talking about thoughts here. So let's go to Genesis 6:1. Genesis 6:1. Let's do a study here about thoughts. Genesis 6:1. And it came to pass when men began to multiply in the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they chose them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of what? The thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So, examples of the word thoughts. God had to send a flood and destroy the earth because, well, He destroyed the earth, not totally obliterated it, but many changes, but destroyed mankind anyway. In verse 7, it said, "And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." So man's thoughts brought judgment upon the world. And let's go to chapter 20, Genesis 20. And even a great man of God here, Genesis 20, verse 1. Genesis 20, verse 1. "And Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country, and dwelled between Kadesh and Shur, and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of his Sarah his wife, She is my sister. And Abimelech king of Gerar sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, Behold, thou art but a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, She is my sister, and she, even she herself, said, He is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this. And God said unto him in a dream, Yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine. Therefore Abimelech rose early in the morning and called all his servants and told all these things in their ears, and the men were sore afraid. Then Abimelech called Abraham and said unto him, What hast thou done unto us? And what have I offended thee, that thou hast brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? Thou hast done deeds unto me that ought not to be done. And Abimelech said unto Abraham, What sawest thou, that thou hast done this thing? And Abraham said, Because I what? Thought. Because I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake. So Abraham's thoughts caused him to lie and to tell Sarah to lie. And we think about, so many times we can get into such trouble just because of what we think instead of relying upon the Lord. So he goes on, "And yet indeed she is my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother, and she became my wife. And it came to pass when God caused me to wander from my father's house, that I said unto her, This is thy kindness which thou shalt show unto me, at every place whither we shall come, say of me, He is my brother." So it was Abraham's thoughts. I thought, that was his problem. Verse 11, "I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place. And yet Abimelech did fear God when he came to him in a dream." Then let's go to Genesis 38. Genesis 38. And verse 11, Genesis 38:11. "Then said Judah to Tamar his daughter-in-law, Remain a widow at thy father's house till Shelah my son be grown. For he said, Lest peradventure he die also, as his brethren did. And Tamar went and dwelt in her father's house. And in process of time the daughter of Shuah, Judah's wife, died. And Judah was comforted, and went up unto his sheep shearers to Timnath, he and his friend Hira the Adullamite. And it was told Tamar, saying, Behold, thy father-in-law goeth up to Timnath to shear his sheep. And she put her widow's garments off from her, and covered her with a veil, and wrapped herself, and sat in an open place, which is by the way to Timnath. For she saw that Shelah was grown. and she was not given unto him to wife. When Judah saw her, he what? He thought her to be an harlot because she had covered her face. And he turned unto her by the way and said, Go to, I pray thee, let me come in unto thee. For he knew not that she was his daughter-in-law. And she said, What wilt thou give me that thou mayest come in unto me? And he said, I will send thee a kid from the flock. And she said, Wilt thou give me a pledge till thou send it? And he said, What pledge shall I give thee? And she said, Thy signet and thy bracelets and thy staff that is in thine hand. And he gave it her and came in unto her, and she conceived by him. And she arose, and went away and laid by her veil from her and put on the garments of her widowhood. So if you back up there, then verse 15, when Judah saw her, he thought her to be an harlot. So his thoughts got him into trouble. Then in Genesis 48. So people do so many rash things and foolish things because of their thoughts. In Genesis 48, verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that one told Joseph, Behold, thy father is sick. And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And one told Jacob and said, Behold, thy son Joseph cometh unto thee. And Israel strengthened himself and sat upon the bed. And Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me. And said unto me, Behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply thee, and I will make of thee a multitude of people, and will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession. And now thy two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt, before I came unto thee in Egypt, are mine. As Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine. And thy issue, which thou begettest after them, shall be thine. And shall be called after the name of their brethren in their inheritance. And as for me, when I came from Padan, Rachel died by me in the land of Canaan in the way. When yet there was but a little way to come unto Ephrath, and I buried her there in the way of Ephrath, the same as Bethlehem. And Israel beheld Joseph's sons and said, Who are these? And Joseph said unto his father, They are my sons, whom God hath given me in this place. And he said, Bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I will bless them. Now the eyes of Israel were dim for age, so that he could not see. And he brought them near unto him, and he kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said unto Joseph, I had what? Not thought to see thy face, and lo, God hath showed me also thy seed. God can do things so much greater than even we can think. Notice with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in verse 9, 1 Corinthians 2, 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. There are things so great and wonderful that we cannot even imagine. We can't even think about. We wouldn't even dream about. Then let's go back to Genesis. One last example in Genesis about thoughts in Genesis 50. So sometimes people have the wrong thoughts. They have bad thoughts. Other times they are faced with blessings that they never would have even thought would be possible. Genesis 50:15. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, Thy father did command before he died, saying, So shall ye say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now, we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, Behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye what? Ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. So they had thoughts of doing away with Joseph, but God was going to turn things around. If you notice in Psalm 76, there's so much evil plotting. Verse 10, Psalm 76:10. Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee, the remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain. Even in our own nation, there's so much wickedness going on. People and their evil thoughts plotting. But, you know, God can turn it all around. I've read Psalm 37 more than one time during these days. Let's go there, Psalm 137 and verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. How do we fret in our minds? Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. So it's our thoughts. When we fret, that's our thoughts. We shouldn't fret about evildoers. Verse 2, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord. Where do we do that? Well, in our hearts and our thoughts. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. You know, we're concerned now, well, what if Mr. Biden becomes president? What will happen to our economy? Well, trust in the Lord. He'll make sure that we're fed. Verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. A couple more verses here. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret, there's that word again. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. So it goes down through here about our thoughts. So we looked at several examples of thoughts. Now let's look at some summaries of that. Isaiah 55. So we have people coming to us or just sharing with us, maybe in a casual setting, and that's probably where that's probably where the majority of counseling comes for all of us, is just in casual talk. What do we tell people? I mean, we don't have to have a plaque on our door saying, you know, counselor. People need counsel. So Isaiah 55:6. The Bible says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his what? Thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. So there are a lot of people that say, it's not wrong to think the wrong thing. It's just wrong if you do it. No, the Bible says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Next verse. For my what? Thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my what? Thoughts than your thoughts. So we need to try to help people to look to God and to understand that, yes, our thoughts, if they're wrong thoughts, are sin. And we're going to look at some other verses here in a little bit, what to do about wrong thoughts. Okay, so our first point under that is that man's thoughts are not God's thoughts. Number two, man is responsible for his thoughts just like his actions. So man is responsible for his thoughts just like he's responsible for his actions. Deuteronomy 19:16. Deuteronomy 19:16. This is where with psychology, so often psychology is trying to shift blame to someone else. No, we are responsible. Deuteronomy 19:16. If a false witness rise up against any man to testify against him that which is wrong, then both the men between whom the controversy is shall stand before the Lord, before the priests and the judges, which shall be in those days. And the judges shall make diligent inquisition. And behold, if the witness be a false witness, and hath testified falsely against his brother, then ye shall do unto him as he had what? Thought to have done unto his brother. So shalt thou put the evil away from among you. So, if someone falsely testifies against someone else, what was the crime? What was the penalty? Well, now they get it. So that would do away with, real quick, with false testimony. Then in Matthew chapter 5, and verse 27, Matthew 5:27. So we're looking at man is responsible for his thoughts. If he falsely accuses someone else, he's responsible for his thoughts. Now the penalty is put upon him. Matthew 5:27. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. So that is man's thoughts right there. So number one, it was man's thoughts are not God's thoughts. Number two, man is responsible for his thoughts just like his actions. Number three, man's thoughts are often inaccurate. You know, sometimes you may think, I wonder if that person is mad at me. They didn't say anything to me, or they said something, and sometimes you think something, but that really isn't how it turned out to be. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 1. And verse 9. 1 Samuel 1:9. Man's thoughts are often inaccurate. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. And therefore, Eli, what? Thought she had been drunken. So, this was far from drunkenness. She was pouring out her heart to the Lord. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord. I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. So Eli thought she was drunk, but not so. He was wrong. Man's thoughts are often inaccurate. Look at John 7. John 7, verse 24. John 7, 24. It says, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. There's so many times that what we think about a situation can be totally different than what the case really is. So that was point number three. Man's thoughts are often inaccurate. So if someone comes to us and is troubled about something, you know, we have to remind them of this. You know what? Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgments. You may think someone's mad at you, upset with you, this or that, but that might not be the case at all. So don't jump to conclusions. So the next point is man's thoughts are often vain. 2 Kings 5:9. Man's thoughts are often vain. 2 Kings 5:9. So many people get so troubled because of their thoughts. They're thinking something that upsets them, and there's no cause for them to be upset. 2 Kings 5 and verse 9. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and went away and said, behold what? I thought, he will surely come out to me and stand, and call in the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. I mean, he's a military man. You know, I don't know if they had medals back then, but, you know, everything is so much pomp with it and honor and, you know, pinning medals and marching, and everything is so grand and glorious like that. And he's got it in his mind. When I read this, I think of deer hunting. When I'm out, we used to go out deer hunting. And I just picture, you know, I'm right-handed, so my gun's laying this way. And so I'm just picturing that the deer is going to come down this way through the woods. And, you know, I'm going to do this. Well, what happens is I'm sitting there and I hear a twig snap behind me, and I slowly turn my head and there's a buck right that way. Well, what do I do? Do I shoot bottom side up? What do I do? It doesn't matter what I do. The deer is going to be gone. In one leap, he's going to be gone. And so many times we think of God is going to meet my need this way or that way. And so often it's a different way. Our ways are not God's ways. And so many times our thoughts are vain. Like Naaman, he thought, and then he was angry because it wasn't as royal of a healing as he thought. He said, are not Abana and Parfar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. If you're not going to do it my way, I don't want to be healed. I mean, how foolish. And his servants came near and spake to him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? Naaman, put 10 arrows through the bullseye of that target over there, and you'll be healed. No problem. My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather than when he saith unto thee, wash and be clean. Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. But he said, as the Lord liveth before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. So Well, we know the picture here is humility, is what is trying to teach Naaman. If you go to Matthew chapter 18, in verse 1, Matthew 18, 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And everybody's thinking, I hope he chooses me. I hope he chooses me. And Jesus called what? A little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. And said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall what? Humble himself as this little child, the same as the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." You know, people come to us and sometimes their feelings are hurt and they're upset because maybe they didn't get treated with the honor that they expected, like Naaman. And so they're upset. And so really what you have a situation is a bitterness because someone feels like, I wasn't treated with the respect or honor that I was expecting. And so they get bitter. And it's like, why don't people appreciate me? I mean, this is the thoughts that are going through their minds. And so this is how we have to help people. Hey, do you remember Naaman? Do you remember how he expected this regal performance to go on and presentation and whatever, healing? You know what? What he needed to do was humble himself. So man's thoughts are often vain. So we've got to try to help people to realize that. Listen, the way you think this or that's going to happen might not be that way at all, because often God has to humble us so that he will be glorified. Then let's go to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. I have just a few minutes left here. So many people are troubled, and it's in their minds. They get troubled about things, and so we have to help them. Listen, don't live according to your thoughts and sense of worries and things. Be in the Word of God. He can do marvelous things. Psalm 139, and this point is, man's thoughts are fully understood by God. Psalm 139, 1. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Let's see here. Get this to work right here. Okay, now it's working. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. So God knows how many times. Do any of you know how many times you've got up and sat down today? I have no clue how many times I have. But God knows our thoughts afar off. When it's just, you know, sometimes you begin to think of something and then you lose track of it. You think, now what? Like, what was I thinking? What did I want to do today? Thou compasseth my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. So our thoughts are fully understood by God. And so we need to relate that to other people. Then in 1 Chronicles 28:9. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of what? The thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. So, our thoughts. And let's take, let's see here. I don't know if we can, we'll see if we can get through here. The next one. Man must serve the Lord to keep his thoughts right. Man must serve the Lord to keep his thoughts right. So many people have trouble with their thoughts because they're not serving the Lord. Proverbs 16:3. The Bible says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and what? Thy thoughts shall be established. It goes right back to it. Sometimes people will come to you with problems or relate problems to you, but maybe they're not serving the Lord. And so that's why they're having all these trouble with thoughts and worries and things, is because, well, commit thy works unto the Lord and thy thoughts shall be established. And that makes me think of Matthew 11:28. So many times, I'm not against vacations, and I hope I'm not coming across that way, because it's nice to be able to, whether it's on a mission field, on a missions trip, or just for relaxing. But when someone is troubled, just getting them away resting and relaxing might not be the full answer. Because, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. And we've talked about this in recent days. A yoke is work. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. So if you work with someone that cares about others, you think, wow, this person really cares. I've heard people say that about President Trump. I mean, President Trump is, you know, when you hear him, you might think he's abrupt and rude and doesn't care about anybody but himself. But those who actually have been close to him knows and has testified that he really cares about people. And so when we get in the yoke with Jesus, we learn, you know what, if we could get in the yoke with Jesus, I mean, physically and literally, and we are spiritually in the yoke with Jesus, but I mean, if it was in a physical sense where we could actually see, you know what, we'd find out all he thinks about is other people helping him. I mean, all day long and all night long, it's help this one and help that one and help this one. And so that's his heart, is helping people. And if that's our heart, then we don't have time to worry about our own problems, because we're busy helping others. So take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. So when we get busy serving and learning his meekness, we find out, oh, there are so many other people hurting so much worse than us. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What joy it brings just to help other people. So the next point, man must submit his thoughts to God. Man must submit his thoughts to God. So when we're trying to help, this is Psalm 139, when we are trying to help other people, we need to teach them, we need to submit our thoughts to God. And that'll get us over a lot of discouragement and problems. Psalm 139, verse 23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Lord, search me, know me, show me if there's something wrong, and lead me in the way everlasting. And then in 2 Corinthians 10:1, here we realize, and we can help people. Listen, this is what we need to do with our thoughts. 2 Corinthians 10:1 says, Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. But though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. And here it is. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity what? Every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now some people think, oh, I got to bring every thought into the obedience of Christ. They think, oh, is that prison? No, that's freedom is what that is. The release from all the worry and fretting in this world that goes on. And then one last, I know we're a little bit over here, but that'll finish this point. Acts 8:11. So the next point is man should ask forgiveness for wrong thoughts. Man should ask forgiveness for wrong thoughts. And you see, there's a lot of people that never ask forgiveness for wrong thoughts because they do not think wrong thoughts are sin. That's the problem. They do not acknowledge wrong thoughts as sin. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast what? Thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. So Peter's dealing with them. You've got the wrong thoughts here. He said, for I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. There are so many people that come or will mention things to us, but they are bitter. That is the real issue. Then answered Simon and said, pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me. So, psychologists excuse man's wrong thoughts as part of our subconscious, over which we supposedly have no control. That's false. God holds man completely responsible for his thoughts. And so we need to confess if we have wrong thoughts. So the whole psychology thing is putting all of our thoughts in that subconscious category. And so, hey, I'm not responsible. No, we are responsible. So, any questions or thoughts about thoughts? Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord.